To Mirror Lake Alliance Church this morning. My name is Janet, and I'll be leading you in some worship. We have a smaller crowd today, but thank you for those who did come, and welcome for those that are watching at home. I'm going to start with a good old hymn that most of you should be familiar with.
Our song shall rise to thee.
So that stone was moved for good, for the Lamb had conquered death. And the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe. For the souls of all who come to the Father are restored. And the Church of Christ was born, then the Spirit lit the flame. Now this gospel truth of old shall not need. Shall not faint by his blood and in his name. In his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who is resurrecting me. Praise our Father, praise our Son, praise our Spirit, three in one. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. I know a lot of us, it's been a long year of isolation and changes to jobs and schools and routines, and it seems like it's been going on forever, and a lot of people are really struggling and really hurting. And just encourage all of those, all of you who may be having a really tough time right now, to just remember that God is faithful and that he still loves you and that he wants to be there to help pick you up and help you through this time. And there is a light coming, and we will be resumed to hopefully a normal routine once again. And we just got to keep faith and keep our faith in God.
I call out to you again and again. I call out to you again and again. You are my rock in times of trouble.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your continued provision over us. Jesus, we thank you for the hope that you give us. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you work in our hearts today as Pastor Brad comes and shares the message to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning to the people in attendance today. We're quite an intimate audience today, so that's pretty awesome. I like that. We're nice and cozy and very well distanced out, so I'm like moving my neck around here pretty good to get you all in my vision. I'm just thankful that we can continue to meet and just love Jesus together during this time. And thank you very much, Jana, for leading us in worship. That was most excellent. I want to say I apologize, though, for those listening or online for the complications we've had recently with our video. About a month ago, our camera went down. So we've kind of been going on phones lately. And then last week, my phone decided not to cooperate. So that was very unfortunate. So we've had some drop balls due to technology. We're working on fixing that and getting it to a place where the audio is good, the picture is good, and all that stuff. So thank you for bearing with us during this time online. You know, get the privilege, obviously, of hearing what we hear at times. So we will pray for technology, I guess. Never thought I'd ever have to say that, but just that it cooperates with us as a church. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share today about a praise thing or just anything that we can thank God for? Or maybe we need to pray for healing for someone. All right, intimate crowd, so it didn't take very long. We're good. We'll just pray then. We'll pray for the message. We'll pray for our worship time. And we'll pray for the lovely phone that is recording right now that it holds up. Father, we thank you today for bringing us together and just that we could praise and worship you. We thank you for the people that volunteer their time to come in and sing and bless us with the music selections they have and with their voices and their instruments that they play for you, Lord. Let's remember that that's what they're doing up here. They're playing for you. And so we thank you for that. We thank you for their hearts that just reflect a person that is filled with the Holy Spirit that wants to sing praises to our Creator. And Father, we just continue to pray for our online messages that we had overcome some of these hiccups and that people could still worship in a way that it just glorifies you even with sound issues or picture issues, whatever it happens to be, Lord. It's in your hands, so we give that to you and we thank you for that. And obviously we continue to pray for healing in our world and that you would be with us during this time. Take away this nasty illness. And allow us to be the people that you created us to be, and that's social. And we pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to continue with Paul's missionary journey here. And it's quite fantastic. It seems like we're going to be jumping from place to place. And it seems kind of like that in Acts. But Paul actually spends quite a bit of time in the places that he visits, especially in Ephesus and Corinth. It's not just a quick stop-in, but he's there for a few years. Corinth, I think it was a year and a half. And in Ephesus, we're going to read how he's there for 2 years. So we're going to start in chapter 19, and we're going to read verses 1 to 22. So what happened kind of at the tail end of Acts 18 was there was a young go-getter that wanted to come and spread the gospel message, and he had a great heart for it. Unfortunately, his brain didn't really catch up to his heart at that point in time, so his theology was a little off. And we would have some people walk alongside with them. Why is it escaping my brain right now? Priscilla and Aquila, they would team up and they would educate our lovely friend Apollo, who unfortunately was spreading bad theology at that time. So that's kind of what happened at the tail end of Acts 18. As the group's kind of departing from Corinth, they educate this young man who's also going to become a missionary and journey alongside with them. So reading verse 19, reading verse 1 in chapter 19. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said, "John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. But some of them became obstinate. They refused to believe and publicly maligned the way. So Paul left them. He took the disciples with him and had discussions daily in the lecture hall of Tyrannus. This went on for 2 years so that all the Jews and Greeks who lived in the province of Asia heard the word of the Lord. God did extraordinary miracles through Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick, and their illnesses were cured, and evil spirits left them. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, "In the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out." 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know and Paul I know about, but who are you?" Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. When this became known to the Jews and Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held in high honor. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. A number who had practiced sorcery brought their scrolls together and burned them publicly. When they calculated the value of the scrolls, the total came to 50,000 drachmas. In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. After all this had happened, Paul decided to go to Jerusalem, passing through Macedonia and Achaia. "After I have been there," he said, "I must visit Rome also." He sent 2 of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia, while he stayed in the province of Asia a little longer. So Paul had just completed serving in Corinth for 1.5 years. And he would eventually head to Jerusalem and inform the church of how the missionary efforts were going between him and Silas and Timothy and Luke and all the crew that had tagged along. Of course, on his way home, he would head to Ephesus as he's heading to Jerusalem. And then he'd return to Ephesus after being in Jerusalem for a short time and making the report. It's in the latter part of Paul's journey that we see a real change in the way that he ministers to others. He does this thing that we like to do called spending time with others. That's pretty awesome. Sometimes we forget that in our evangelism and reaching out to people is to spend time with them. So he started, if you remember, he started by traveling from community to community, and when he went off with Barnabas, they'd quickly go from place to place, they'd preach about Jesus, and then they'd move on to the next town or the next community, or maybe they'd be run out of town, whatever it happened to be. And over time, you would see that he would change, and he'd become more effective in his ministry, and he'd have a strategy behind everything as he engaged the cities in the Roman Empire. And he would end up staying as long as God had called him to stay there. It's pretty awesome. So his strategy kind of consisted of this. He began by preaching a message. And of course, his message, it consisted of a demand for personal repentance and for those who hear to believe and follow Jesus. That is, he would put a call out to them to convert to Christianity. And then he would plant churches in these cities or towns, wherever he would go. And these churches would then serve as a point of outreach for the neighboring community around them. These churches, the people in them, they were expected to carry a heavy load along with Paul. They were expected to teach and preach and be the light to those who did not know Jesus. It wasn't just Paul doing all the work. If you look at Paul's message as he teaches, it really does not change much as he goes from place to place. His message at its core, it contains the same message for each person he talks to. As he talks about the nature of sin, and so there's a need to repent of that sin in our lives, that is to change and turn towards God. He taught the saving work of Jesus Christ, how he died on the cross for our sins. And he also taught about the importance of conversion and becoming the follower of Jesus that we're called to be. It's a simple message, and it's a true message regardless of where this message is given. That means it's still effective for us today. That means when a small group of women are gathered on the banks of a river, they could hear it. Or when Paul went to the synagogues, which he went to every time he entered a city, he was able to preach the same message over and over again. He preached it to one and all. And he didn't attempt to glamorize it or make it more appealing to those who gathered to listen. It's unfortunate, but there are some pastors out there that like to make it seem a lot different and make it more Hollywood, I guess, our gospel message. And that's not okay. Paul preached God's word. He preached repentance and conversion. And really, in all honesty, that's something that the North American church needs to hear more of and do more of. The key for Paul is that he was doing all of this in love and grace. Another thing that evades the North American church at times. So it was after his teaching that Paul would plant churches in the city or town that he was in. Think about it. Paul's giftings were in evangelism and teaching. The Holy Spirit, he clearly anointed Paul in these areas. And even with these giftings, Paul made sure that they were used to strengthen and aid God in building of the church. And so he made sure to stick around and establish and develop these churches and make sure that they're being discipled appropriately. Everywhere that Paul went, he had a goal of establishing a church in that community. Paul desired to bring people to Jesus, and when they made the decision to follow Jesus, he would strengthen their understanding through teachings and through watching him attempt to live a Christ-like life among them. That's pretty amazing. Even when he would get annoyed or when he would use sarcasm, he was still loving on these people. After a time, Paul would then depart as the church leaders, obviously, would be able to take over. And he would start all over again in a different place. You know, in today's world, we have something that is quite beneficial to us if you look at it, because the gospel is able to be spread in almost any fashion and in almost any way. People can teach or preach via YouTube, Twitch, Zoom, TV, radio. There's books, there's ebooks that explain and teach all of the gospel. And if you want to go old school, there are still tracts available. Anyone remember tracts? Those things are awesome. We still have some kicking around the office if you ever want them. Anyways, there's so many different resources around this world that can teach or preach or even explain the gospel to anyone who's interested. In some ways, these methods, they actually even do groundbreaking for us, as the opportunities are so endless for any demographic out there. It's amazing because they're trying to teach us through the district that there's these things called Twitch and YouTube about how we can reach the young people. And so we're trying to have to adapt to that and catch up in a sense. But even with all these fancy advances or even the easy access that people have to the gospel, we cannot allow it to cheapen or lessen our role in spreading the gospel. We still need to teach people about Jesus. It's a whole lot easier now than it ever has been. The thing we need to take note of is that in sharing Jesus, we actually need to display Jesus as well. Ooh, we forget to do that sometimes, I think. So that's why Paul would stay in these places for periods of time. And to tell you the truth, we burn so many bridges with regards to our outreach because we forget to display who Jesus Christ truly is. We forget to show those around us about the heart of Jesus. We need to be a church that in small numbers or big numbers, it speaks and teaches about Jesus, and then it goes out every day and attempts to live just like Jesus. I wonder, as we walk away from our Sunday worship services, if this is truly our goal after every service. Do we desire to live the gospel everywhere we go? Do we desire to be like Jesus in every interaction and in every aspect of our lives? Think about Paul and his ministry. His successes were not found in these glorious teaching moments where he's in front of the synagogue teaching and preaching to a lot of people. Because Paul would teach often in these synagogues or teaching halls. It's kind of similar to what we do here on Sunday. Which, don't get me wrong, it's very important to plant seeds in this fashion as I preach up here. And it reaches a larger number of people all at once. But Paul's moments of successes would be found where a church was established and where people were doing what Jesus would do. These churches were done in smaller groups at the time, and they were done in people's homes. These little groups of Christians, they would model Jesus in their communities, and they would show the person of Jesus Christ through their worship and through the ordinary events of their day. Your role at home is just as important as your role at church when you come here on Sunday. And remember, everybody plays an important role in the body of Christ. So I guess we should probably be asking ourselves more often, how do my neighbors view me? How do they see me? Paul knew that the local churches had an important role to play in the spread of the gospel. Just like Mirror Lake Alliance understands that we have to play an important role as we reach out to our community and to the school around us, to the acreages around us. In Acts 19, we read that Paul, he finally heads to Ephesus. For those of you who don't know, Ephesus at this point in time is one of those big cities that had a lot of people coming and going. When you look at Ephesus on paper and importance that it had as a city in the Roman Empire, you're kind of wondering why Paul didn't hit up this city earlier. Well, he tried to. But if you remember, the Holy Spirit stopped Paul from heading to Ephesus earlier on. In Acts chapter 16, verse 7, it reads this. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So the Holy Spirit held them back from heading to Ephesus right away. Because this journey that to entering Bithynia, it would have taken them towards Ephesus, but he didn't go that way. Ephesus is a port city, and at that time, every other city that is important was also a port city. If you were to go to Ephesus today, though, you would find yourselves 3 to 4 miles inland from where it once was, as its port was silted up. I had to look that one up. That's kind of a weird process, because when you have all these people coming and going, eventually like this sedimentary stuff comes in and makes it so the water is no good. And so Ephesus is miles inland now from where it used to be. It was a city that was engaged in a lot of commerce, and it lost out on a lot of this when the port was silted up. But during Paul's time, where Ephesus was at the peak of its glory, there was around 350,000 people living there. That's a pretty huge amount of people for an ancient city. And Ephesus had this massive theater where 25,000 people could be seated. Just to let you know, in comparison, Rogers Place in Edmonton, it seats 18,500 for hockey and 20,734 for a concert. It's a pretty big theater for that point in time. Ephesus also had a large temple in it, and it was dedicated to Artemis, or to Diana. This cult temple, it was as large as a football field, and it was home to many superstitions and occult prostitutes. If you were to turn to the book of Revelation, you'd find that Ephesus is the first of the seven churches that John writes to. And that just shows us that it's a pretty important city as it's listed first. So Paul, is now in Ephesus, and he's there to preach and teach and to plan to reach out to communities and display the love of Christ to them. As I said earlier, Paul in Acts 18, he actually swung through Ephesus on his way home from the second missionary journey to report on. Acts chapter 18, verse 19 to 20 states this. They arrived at Ephesus where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. Interesting. So Paul was in Corinth for 1.5 years, and he realized it was time to head to Jerusalem and to report on his many life moments among the Europeans. He stops in Ephesus on his way back, though, and it's kind of funny when you think about it, because it's one of those stops where the people that he talks to actually wants him to stick around longer. I don't know, I find that kind of funny, because everywhere that Paul seems to go, they don't want him to stick around and they run him out of town. But Paul can't stay. So he leaves Priscilla and Aquila behind, and also Apollo. He stopped for just a brief moment. But in his brief moment, he was still compelled to share the message of Jesus at the synagogue. And then he quickly departs. Why? Well, no one really knows. Maybe he was just getting a feel for Ephesus and saying, will they receive me warmly? Maybe Paul just wanted to take in the marvelous city that Ephesus was and just see what was laid out before him. Who knows? Maybe the Holy Spirit would have prevented him from returning again. So that's why he just wanted to stop in and catch a view of it just once. We don't know. But we do read that he was asked to stay in Acts 18. Verse 20 states this, when they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. The people of the synagogue were receptive to him. And that's strange, because most synagogues were the ones that were causing problems for Paul, and yet this one was ready to hear him. That's pretty significant. After all, he was not driven out of the city for once, and yet he's still called elsewhere and he listens to God. You know, he could have just been like, oh, people want to hear me. I need to stay here and just listen or preach to people and have them marvel at what I had to say. But he didn't. And it's kind of mind-blowing, because it seems that Paul cannot catch a break as he ministers. Acts chapter 18, 21 to 22. But as he left, he promised, I will come back if it is God's will. Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up to Jerusalem and greeted the church and went down to Antioch. But he left Priscilla, Aquila, and Apollo to stay behind. And those three, they got to work. Like I said, Apollo was a young man who had a lot of energy and ability in speaking. He was actually probably better at speaking than Paul was, but his theology and understanding of Jesus was a little off. Apollo's the guy that creates controversy in Corinth, as a lot of people really enjoyed hearing Apollo, but not Paul, so they kind of followed Apollo's teachings before he was corrected, and Paul corrects that, so that's fun. And Priscilla and Aquila are also there. They're teaching alongside Apollo after they had corrected his theology, and they're just reaching out to the people of Ephesus. And so they're doing all this work, and then Paul returns to Ephesus, and his strategy really begins to unravel before us as he started to work with other Christians. We need to remind ourselves that we are not on our own. We're not on our own as we minister. We're not on our own as we reach out to people. We're not on our own even during COVID. We are not on our own. We have a massive team. It's called the church. And we're supposed to be there for one another. And that is super awesome, if you ask me. We have each other. even during this time. And Paul, he would see his successes as he would work with those around him. He would work alongside them. And everywhere that Paul went, he usually had two or more workers with him when he was on mission, except for the one time he was a little bit alone there in Corinth. In Acts chapter 19, he's with a team that consists of Timothy and Erastus. And these men would be sent away in Acts chapter 19, verse 22, as it says, he sent two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, to Macedonia while he stayed in the province of Asia a little longer. So when you look at it, God rarely calls us to minister or work on his behalf alone. At the same time, I can't say that there aren't going to be these rare instances where God calls us to work alone. And we can't see it as a ball being dropped or a missed opportunity or God's fault kind of thing. There's this one young man, you may know him, but he had to minister alone. His name was Saint Patrick. He was captured by pirates and carried off to Ireland when he was just a boy, 16 years old. He was obviously very much alone, but he witnessed while he was there, and God blessed him and his ministry. When God prepares the way for us as we minister, it's not just in preparing the hearts of those that we will minister to, but he's also preparing the team or the people around us, and he's sent us with people, and he's providing for us in that fashion. God has brought our church together, each and every one of us. We've been brought together on his behalf to love the people in our acreages, in our towns, and in our cities. And there's always room for improvement, but I feel that we actually do a pretty good job around here at Mirror Lake. As I hear stories, even during COVID, of how you love your neighbors and you shovel or plow their driveways or you shovel their walks or you just do something in a loving fashion. You leave baskets on their doors or you reach out to try and get them aid when they're really struggling. We're a team of believers. And together we can impact the community around us as we love them in the name of Jesus. Along with working as a team, Paul also taught the Bible. Everywhere that Paul went, he would stop in the synagogues and teach from the scriptures. He showed how Jesus Christ is the Messiah and the fulfillment of those scriptures. He told of how Jesus lived, of how Jesus taught and died, of how he was raised from the dead, and he is the ultimate fulfillment of God's word. Paul showed what God had said in these scriptures and then showed how Jesus was the outcome. And here's the thing. When Paul did that, he did not care who he was sharing with. His main goal was for people to become followers of Jesus. In Ephesus, we read that Paul is teaching some disciples of John the Baptist. The understanding of these disciples was probably similar to that of Apollos, that I've discussed in Acts 18, where they had heard John's teachings and they were prepared for a Messiah, but they had not heard of Jesus nor had met him. And so Paul points them to Jesus as they had basic knowledge, and their response, it was immediate belief, and the Holy Spirit came upon them just as he did the disciples in Samaria. Paul also taught Jews. He had a heart for them. Just as I have a heart for the people around here, or Mike and Denise have a heart for the people of Fiji, or Dave and Helga have a heart for the loved ones in Honduras. That's not to say that there isn't love for the whole world or for these different areas. It's just where hearts are. It's where you want your passions lie, and you really want these people to know Jesus and to know Jesus' love. So Paul would always hit up the synagogues wherever he went. And it's his first act as he heads through Ephesus. He's on his way to Jerusalem and he just does a quick speech in the synagogue because he wants his people to come to Jesus. And then he would return and for 3 months he would speak at the synagogue. Acts chapter 19 verse 8, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly there for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. He spoke for 3 months. Eventually, he would be forced to leave, but he loved his Jewish brothers and sisters. And then after this, Paul, he would reach out to the Gentiles. Most of Ephesus was Gentile, so why not? He would lecture in a hall of a man named Tyrannus, and it's understood that Tyrannus was a Greek philosopher or teacher. After all, he had a school or a hall named after him. The word for hall is the same word for school. So Paul, he would teach in this school, and he'd begin an outreach to a specific group of Gentiles, even in that, and that is the occult that is located in Ephesus. When the Spirit began to move in Ephesus, it was the people in the occult. They responded very quickly, and they discontinued their practices. Paul and the other missionaries, they're finding such success in Ephesus that it leads to a riot. He preached against these cults and false gods, which created a massive drop in sales for those merchants who sold Artemis statues. And the anger of these merchants would lead to a riot and a whole lot of violence. Paul had not only impacted Ephesus, but all of Asia with regards to drawing people away from idol worship and the occult. And after teaching people and communities, Paul would do this amazing thing, as he would follow up with those he just informed about Jesus. He would follow up with these newly established churches and these newly established believers. Paul desired to return to the churches all the time. He wanted to see how they were doing. He wanted to know if he could help in any fashion or correct maybe a theology or a doctrine that people didn't understand. He was passionate about all people, and he was passionate about those that came to Jesus. His heart was for humanity. He'd face brutal weather conditions to share Jesus. If you think about it, if you kind of did the math behind things, it's most likely that Paul taught in a time at this teacher's hall, Tyrannus's hall, at probably the worst times possible. So they assume he was teaching around 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. when it's its hottest. He would just bake in the sun as he was preaching and teaching about Jesus. Boy, oh boy, that would be intense. But he'd be the only one out there battling that kind of stuff. And he would knowingly head into hostile places to share Jesus. And he would head into unknown places to share Jesus. That's how much he just loved people and he had a heart for them. Even though he can come off as kind of direct or curt at times. And to be fair, this is the heart that we need to have as a church, and more so as individuals. We need to have a heart for people, regardless of what they look like, regardless of where we find them. And Paul, I'm sure he would have his heart broken as he would not be able to follow up with some of his churches, the church in Ephesus being one of those, as he would be arrested and sent to Rome before he could do any follow-up. Paul did write them a letter, and in that letter, Paul wrote them what it was to be a Christian. He wrote about the sovereignty of God and salvation, about rebirth and being ordained by God to do good works. He wrote about the nature and function of the church. He wrote about relationships, how we relate to one another, our spouses, towards our co-workers. He wrote about spiritual warfare and the weapons and defense that God provides for us in spiritual warfare. So as Paul went into Ephesus, we need to ask ourselves, did his strategy work? And is it something that can still work for us? To start off with, a church was established in Ephesus, because everywhere Paul went, he had to do this. And so a church was established there. What about for us? Well, the church was established here on a hill near Mirror Lake. Continuing on with Ephesus, the church of Ephesus was well established, and it continued going strong for centuries, and the power of God was seen as Paul ministered to the people of Ephesus. Paul preached the word of God, and God blessed that word, and miracles followed. Can we say the same of Mirror Lake? Is the word of God flowing through here? And do we allow God to bless that word? The ministry in Ephesus, through the word, through the miracles, it led to lives being changed. I mean, these people, they were a part of the occult, some of them. And they held on to these religious idols, and they did weird stuff in the temple. But as Paul preached Jesus, as Paul declared Jesus, the people believed, and they understood that they could not have a divided allegiance. Jesus is Lord. You cannot confess him and cling to something else. He doesn't work like that. Acts chapter 19, verse 18. Many of those who believed now came and openly confessed what they had done. This early church, it began to be like Jesus, and they destroyed their artifacts and manuscripts and their spells and stuff. And Luke tells us that the value is around 50,000 drachma. Now, if we were to place a value on that today, it would be short of $5 million that they disposed of that day. The believers, they removed all that was holding them back from worshiping and living for Jesus, regardless of the cost. In Acts chapter 19, verse 20, it says, "In this way, the word of the Lord spread widely and grew in power. It seemed as though everyone in Ephesus, they had heard the gospel through Paul and his team. But in verse 20, the people of Ephesus were showing the true Christians who were living like Christ. And these believers were not living for themselves. They weren't clinging to idols. They weren't clinging to something. They were clinging to Jesus Christ. And they laid it on the line. And it's because of that that lives were changed forever. Not just theirs, but their neighbors and their friends as well. I have to say that Paul's strategy is pretty awesome. People of Ephesus heard the gospel, and then they saw it lived out in those who believed on Jesus. And hearing and seeing it led to a whole lot of people following Jesus. And so what happened in Ephesus, it needs to be a challenge for us. And it should cause us to live and display the grace and love of Jesus to those all around us, regardless of whether we're having a good day or a bad day. We need to show the world that we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And we need to tell them about him as well. So today my prayer is that the Holy Spirit will bless our efforts as a church, as individuals, my efforts as well, as we reach out to a world that God loves, and God wants us to introduce him to those around us. Join with me as I pray and invite Janet back up. Father, we thank you for working in our lives, and so today we pray that we learn from Paul and some of his strategies and how he worked, of how we need to speak boldly and preach about you. And just as important, Lord, we need to live that out. We need to be Christ-like. We need to be like you. I pray that we remember your love and grace that you've given us, and we extend to others that same love and grace. Bless us, Father. In your name we pray. Amen.